You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. If you didn't have a green thumb before the pandemic, there's a good chance you do now. The National Gardening Association reports that 80% of U.S. households took up gardening during the lockdown, and the trend hasn't faded. As of last year, 8 out of every 10 households are still regularly heading out to the yard or the nursery to plant, water, or trim. A UC Davis survey found that many people turn to gardening as a form of stress relief. Connecting with nature and growing your own food have well-documented benefits for both mental and physical health. So whether you're curious about how to keep your first houseplant alive, or you're a seasoned gardener dealing with overflowing flower beds, the UC Davis Arboretum can help. Their annual fall plant sale is this weekend, offering native plants and expert advice. Joining us here in the studio is Kitty Bolte, a horticulturist at the UC Davis Arboretum and Public Garden. And just a note, UC Davis is a financial supporter of Cap Radio. Kitty, we are thrilled to have you on Insight.
Yeah, very happy to be here.
So what is the UC Davis Arboretum Teaching Nursery?
Yeah, so the Arboretum Teaching Nursery is part of the UC Davis Arboretum and Public Garden, which encompasses the whole campus landscape. And people are probably most familiar with the Arboretum itself, which is this nice walkway with about 34 different plant collections. But another thing that we have is a teaching nursery. And so the nursery, we might talk about this more, is a space for students to learn about nursery management. And we have these public plant sales. We usually have 3 every fall and 4 every spring. And we're located right on the UC Davis campus, sort of near the vet med area, if you've ever had to take your dog to the emergency room or something.
So you just mentioned it quickly, but the Arboretum revenue supports student environmental leadership opportunities and public programs. What are those?
Yeah. So the plant sales are one of our fundraising strategies. And a lot of what that money goes to is this program called Learning by Leading, which is a program to engage students and train them to be future environmental leaders. So we have student interns and workers from the university in a bunch of different areas of horticulture, including nursery management. And a lot of the plants that we grow at the Arboretum are propagated by those students.
And the plants that you grow at the UC Davis Arboretum, are they different from traditional nurseries?
Yeah, I would say so. So our nursery is heavily focused on ornamental perennial plants. So we don't have as many like annual vegetables or bedding plants. But what we do have a lot of is plants that are drought tolerant, that support biodiversity, and that are really good picks for the specific climate that we have here in the Central Valley. And we have a lot of native plants, as you mentioned, but we also have plants from other regions of the world that are well adapted to our climate.
Yeah, I'm curious about that climate change angle, because everyone in California is feeling the heat of climate change. It was a really warm summer. How do you think a changing climate is going to change how we garden over the coming years?
Yeah, at the Arboretum, we definitely think that it's time to seriously consider shifting our plant selection a little bit to reflect the fact that, as you mentioned, our climate is changing. We had a really hot summer this winter, but we also have pretty harsh winters, especially the past 2 have been really wet and windy. And so we're looking at a bunch of different things. We're looking at, even more so than before, plants that conserve water. We're also really thinking about the anticipated impacts of climate change on biodiversity and making sure that we're doing everything we can to grow plants that support other types of biodiversity, birds, butterflies, bees, things like that. And then we're also looking at tree selection, especially thinking about how long-lived trees are, really making sure that trees that we're planting today are going to be able to withstand the climate that we're expected to have here in 50 or 100 years.
So we had a hot summer. Now you mentioned it could be
a wet, cold, wet winter.
So how do you recommend preparing a garden for winter?
So this is from our perspective, this is a great time of year to do a lot of planting in the garden, actually, especially of your ornamentals and your California native plants. The soil is still warm from our hot summer, so that's going to encourage a lot of root growth. But at the same time, temperatures are cool, so plants aren't going to be as stressed out being transplanted. And in terms of how to prepare for the winter, basic good practices for planting always apply, right? So you want to dig a nice hole. You want to break up the root ball of your plants to encourage those roots to grow out into the soil instead of staying bound in their container media. You want to make sure that you're planting most plants pretty much level with the soil surface. So we don't want them super raised up where the roots are exposed to the air or sunken in a pit where water will collect all winter and facilitate rot. And then, you know, we also always encourage practices like mulching around your plants, which in the summer is going to help conserve moisture, but in the winter actually helps mitigate compaction if you're walking around checking on your plantings and the soil's wet. So those are a couple of principles.
Can you tell us about cover crops, and are those good options for people who maybe can't devote all the time to a winter garden?
Yeah, so we don't do as much cover cropping in the arboretum. That's more of a thing for like a vegetable planting, but certainly we do have one edible garden that we take care of on campus, and we cover crop there. And that's a great practice for keeping your soil covered in the winter, adding some nutrients back into the soil. And it's a little bit of a less intensive form of gardening if you're tired out from growing tomatoes all summer in the vegetable garden.
Cool. So I want to talk about what is at the Arboretum. And I noticed on the website something called the Arboretum All-Stars. What does that mean?
Yeah, so like we talked about before, we really try and be a regional resource in the Arboretum for how to have a thriving garden in our climate, which is different than a lot of the like places that I think people are getting garden inspiration from. If you look at the Bay Area or Southern California, those are milder climates. And so horticulturists at the Arboretum for a long time have tried to find plants that are going to thrive in our really hot summers and look good in the conditions that we have here in the Central Valley. And so that's where the original All-Star list came from, was a list of plants that we felt like were really good bets, super reliable plants that grew really well in our region and that gardeners should consider using for their ornamental plantings. And we're starting to adapt that a little bit with this new plant list that we're starting to roll out called Future Favorites, which gets back to what we were looking at a minute ago, talking about climate change. We've sort of evaluated some of those plants from the All-Star list and said, thinking about how hot it's going to be, how much more important it is to conserve water, should we maybe add some plants that are going to be an increasingly good bet in the future here and maybe take some off that are a little thirstier than we feel comfortable recommending at this point.
So can you name a couple that are like really optimal that you're promoting to folks?
Yeah. Let's see. So one that's really good that we like a lot is called Texas Mountain Laurel. That's actually a tree. So you need to be in the market for a tree to consider that one. But it's a beautiful tree. It has incredibly showy purple flowers, and it comes from South Texas, which is a really hot, dry place. So we think that's going to do quite well in our future climate. Some other ones that we recommend, a great native plant that I feel like is a little uncommon in the nursery trade, but we do have it at our nursery and at our plant sales, is Santa Cruz Island Buckwheat, Areogonum arborescens. That's a really attractive sort of mid-sized shrub, maybe 3 or 4 feet tall and wide. Beautiful flowers. Many of the plants in the buckwheat genus are really important larval hosts for butterflies, so it's a great habitat plant. And the flowers stay on the plant and turn When they dry out, they turn this very beautiful orangey color. So they kind of have nice fall color in addition to their interest in the summer.
And you might get some more butterflies in your garden.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun. And, you know, supporting butterflies, I think something like 90% of birds feed their young insects. So the butterfly larvae are actually really important for supporting birds as well. So there's a whole food chain effect going on there.
Excellent. So I listed a few of these Arboretum All-Stars, and I thought we'd test your knowledge, and I'd love to have you tell me what people love about them, why they make sense, and correct my pronunciation if I get any of these wrong, okay?
All right.
So blue grandma grass.
Yeah, totally. So this is a really, maybe this sounds like a strange thing to say, but a cute grass. I think a lot of people think, oh, why would I plant grasses? But grasses look really nice throughout the year. When they're growing, they look lush. But when they dry out, as a lot of our native grasses do, that's kind of golden silvery foliage catches the light and is really attractive. And blue grandma grass is a nice short stature grass. You can kind of dot in the front or middle of a planting area just for some seasonal low maintenance interest. And grasses are actually another important larval host for butterflies. So they're doing more than you might expect for habitat too.
Well, that sounds really cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Pine mooly.
Pine mooly, another cute grass, a bigger grass. If you just need to take up some space with a low maintenance attractive thing, the mooly grasses are a really good option for that. They're maybe sort of like 2 or 3 feet tall and wide. And yeah, really low maintenance, drought tolerant. And again, they have those nice seed heads and leaves that kind of dry out and catch the autumn light really nicely, really beautiful this time of year.
Okay. Dwarf plumbago?
Yeah, totally. So this is a great low-maintenance ground cover. So, you know, if you're looking for a lower-growing thing that's going to just create a carpet, suppress weeds, it has very attractive blue flowers. And again, like most of the plants on this list, these are all pretty low maintenance plants. So they're things you can put in the ground, water to establish them, and then not have to do a ton of ongoing maintenance to keep them looking nice.
Cool. Well, let's talk about houseplants. What are the benefits of having houseplants, and what does the arboretum carry that you might recommend?
Yeah, totally. So houseplants, my understanding is that there's conflicting evidence about whether or not they purify the air. But there is evidence that having greenery in your space, including houseplants, is really good for your well-being. And even as like sort of minor things as a single plant in your windowsill or even a photo of nature has been documented to lower stress levels for people if you have that in your bedroom or your office. So that's certainly an argument for having plants in your home. And yeah, this is the first year that we've branched out into offering houseplants. But we know a lot of people are living in apartments or don't have the space for a garden outside. And so we wanted to be able to offer something to folks in that position, too.
So for a beginner like me, I've kept cactus alive. I've kept succulents alive. That's about it. Is there anything else you'd suggest that someone branch out to?
Yeah, maybe you might want to consider like a vining plant, like a pothos plant is a really classic low maintenance house plant, does well in a lot of different light conditions. So if you have a bit of a area where you feel like it's not bright enough light to maybe grow a cactus, a pothos might be a good thing to consider there.
Okay. And then what about for someone who's a beginner, but they have a little spot of soil that they think, oh, I could put something here. What's a good way to first, put your thumb in the soil and begin to green it?
Yeah, totally. So if you have a sunnier spot that's kind of exposed, maybe thinking about a plant like a California fuchsia is a good way to go. Those add a lot of color this time of year is actually when they bloom, sort of summer into fall. So when everything else is crispy and you just want like a little pop of color, California fuchsias deliver that for you. Very low maintenance. If you've got more of a shady area, it might be better to think about something like one of the Australian fuchsias, which are Corea genus. They're very cute little bushes, and they actually flower in the winter when everything else is kind of bleak. Like here come the Australian fuchsias with this cute pop of color. So those are two that you could think about as like first go plants, take very little water, don't require a lot of pruning, but really liven up a space.
Maybe we should talk about the inverse. What about someone who is more a sophisticated, experienced, seasoned gardener? What's something they might bring in their home that just looks dazzling?
Oh, interesting. In terms of what we have on offer at our teaching nursery and at the plant sales, we have quite an extensive collection of Australian plants, a lot of which are less common in nurseries around here. This can be a fun plant to incorporate into the landscape. And my other tip, if you're a really seasoned gardener and you're thinking about coming to the plant sales, is we publish our entire inventory online beforehand. You can browse it. I think we have over 700 species or varieties of plants for sale at this upcoming sale. So if you're a more experienced gardener, I would encourage taking a peek at the inventory and seeing if there's anything that catches your eye.
Cool. So our last question is there a common gardening mistake and how can people avoid it?
Thinking about buying plants and getting plants established, I think one mistake that a lot of beginner gardeners make is not watering enough in the establishment phase, especially for these drought-tolerant plants. They do still require water, particularly in the period where their roots are growing out of the container media that they were in the pot and into the native soil. So it's important to water them regularly. Even if you're doing a fall planting and the air is cool and maybe it's raining a little bit, you want to still provide some supplemental water to really make sure that those plants get established in the ground in a comfortable way.
I think I need to put alarms on my calendar to remind myself like everything else, or else it would wither.
I mean, it sounds like a joke, but I have quite a few watering alarms on my phone.
Kitty, it's been great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Kitty Bolte is a horticulturist at the UC Davis Arboretum and Public Garden in Davis. This Saturday, October 26, the Arboretum is hosting its annual fall plant sale. It's open from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for members and from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for non-members. And again, UC Davis is a financial supporter of CAP Radio. Coming up next, Sacramento's Rogue Music Project is embracing the Halloween season with Creep, a spooky, sensual, and silly cabaret featuring frightening songs and top local talent. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.